Turn with me, if you will, to the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to be finishing up here in chapter 6. If you're using a pew Bible, you can find this on page 842, and we're going to be looking at verses 53 through 56. And let us stand this evening for the reading of God's Word. Once more, this is Mark chapter 6, verses 53 through 56. Let us give our careful attention to the reading of God's holy and inspired word for us. When they had crossed over, they came to the land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched him, it were made well. Thus far the reading of God's word for us this evening. You may be seated. So as you know, if you've been following along with us in our evening worship series, evening sermon series, we have been working our way through the Gospel of Mark, and this evening we find ourselves concluding here in chapter 6, or concluding chapter 6 here this evening. And really, this is a fairly simple story. It's a pretty easy story to understand. But within this simple story is a profound message for us as well. This is an account of Jesus healing people, and it's a simple story with a profound message for us. And I'll give you the conclusion of the sermon sort of right up front here. And it's simply this: Jesus is our healer. Jesus is our healer. And the good news that Jesus brings is the only way in which you and I can be healed from our sin. It's the only way in which you and I can be brought back from our rebellion against God. It's the only way in which you and I can be remade and reborn and given new life and faith in Christ. And this story serves us as a picture of that very reality, of the gospel taking place and taking shape in your own life. So what are we going to look at this evening? Tonight, I want us to consider three points. Our first point we're going to look at is context and contrast. Our second point will be climax, and our third point will be conclusion, as we consider this short set of verses here as Mark concludes chapter 6. First, as I said, we're going to look at consider the context of the story and the key contrasts that are really taking shape here that Mark is putting on display for us. Mark writes this account with a particular context in mind, as well as a contrast that's accounted for here compared to Mark's other accounts in his gospel. Second, we're going to consider the climax of the story. We're going to see how the people were healed and what this means for you and I, what it means for Jesus up until this point in his earthly ministry. And third, we're going to look at the conclusion. What does this story teach us about the gospel? What does this story teach us about how the gospel works in our own hearts and lives today? So again, context and contrast, the climax of the story, and then our conclusions from this account. Let's look at our first point this evening. So what really has taken shape up until this point in Mark's gospel? Essentially, we're looking here at the immediate context, more narrowly, of chapter 6. As we've been working through this, we've seen a variety of different things that Mark has recorded for us in his gospel account. And chapter 6 has a whole host of different events that are taking shape in the life and ministry of Jesus. Some pretty major events, one would say. We see that Jesus has come into his hometown, he's come back to Nazareth, and he's been completely and utterly rejected. We see this other figure that was so central to the beginning of Mark's gospel in chapter 1, John the Baptist, has now died. The 12 apostles have been sent out with that command from Jesus to go and to heal the sick. And we see them come back to Jesus proclaiming how they have seen the power of the gospel at work as Jesus has commissioned them and given them authority to go out and to proclaim in Christ's power and authority. In chapter 6, we read of Jesus feeding the 5,000, this miraculous account of Jesus providing for those who are sitting under his teaching with just a meager few fishes and a couple loaves of bread. We see that miraculous provision of God for his people as the fish and bread are multiplied. And all this has taken shape here in chapter 6, but at the end of the chapter, we looked at that story last week with after feeding the 5,000, the disciples get in the boat, Jesus stays behind, and you know how the story goes. You heard it last week. What happens? Jesus goes out onto the water. He walks on the water, and this is where we pick up in the story this evening. Here's sort of the conclusion of that feeding of the 5,000, Jesus walking on the water, and now it's after this journey overnight where we pick up on the shores where Jesus then goes out to heal. Jesus was this just previously walking on water as the disciples continued by ship in the Sea of Galilee. This is that context as to what's taking shape in the story thus far to where we find ourselves here as Mark concludes this account in chapter 6. So what are some of the other contextual issues that are at play? One thing that's important to note is the location of where the ship with Jesus now on board, he wasn't previously on board, but now he is, where they land, where the ministry that follows takes place. Gennesaret was a town consisting of a fertile plain. It's about 3 miles long by a mile wide. And it was located on the west shore of the on the Sea of Galilee between Capernaum and Tiberias. Now, what's important to note for us here is how commentators would have seen or how they've noted that this would have been a highly populated area. This was a dense center, a dense populated town. And with this mention of that Mark makes of many bringing their beds or mats with sick people points to the fact that Jesus and his influence, that has spread by word of mouth throughout all the regions surrounding the Sea of Galilee. That word had gotten out that when Jesus comes into town, miraculous things happen. And even in this densely populated area, we see how word travels fast. That at the response to seeing Jesus arrive on their shore, many would come and bring their sick who needed to be healed. Another interesting thing to point out here, it's a little different from other parables or other accounts that Mark records for us, is that there's no mention or recording of Jesus teaching in this account. There's no recording of the words of Christ. It's simply an account that Mark gives that records these healings that take shape here. There's no recording of anything Jesus said, no words. This is absent from this account. But I think what we see here, as I said, this is a simple story with a simple message, but there's a profound deepness to this as well. There's two big contrasts that we see with the major characters in Mark's gospel. This is a big contextual matter at work in Mark's authoring of his gospel account. It shows you the intricacy and detail which Mark writes with. Mark wants to portray a contrast between Jesus and the failure of his own disciples to recognize him, in contrast to the crowds who respond immediately to Jesus on the seashore. There's a big contrast that's taking place here. To bring you back for a moment into that night before Jesus and the disciples arrive here. As I said, we see that story of Jesus walking on water, a profound revelatory miracle of Jesus' authority over nature, a theme that's been continually expressed in Mark's gospel up until this point. But what do you see in that account? What do you see in the disciples? I'll read it for you. I didn't expect you to answer, just so you're all aware, okay? So it's interesting here. Pay attention to how Mark records the response of the disciples. I'm picking up in Mark chapter 6, verse 47. I'll read a few verses for us. So Mark writes, "And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he, Jesus, was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them." It's interesting to point out here, the wind is the reason why the disciples and Jesus end up in this location. They were heading out for a different place, and then they face this wind, and then they arrive here on the shores of Gennesaret. It's not the intended destination of which they were heading out originally. So it's important to note that here as we see the response from the crowds in this town. "For the wind was against them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them," Jesus here, "walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.' And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded." You see, this is the boat trip that leads to the disciples and Jesus arriving on these shores that we read about in verse 53. And what sticks out is the failure of the disciples in that account to recognize Jesus. Those who were close to Jesus in his inner circle failed to actually see what was taking before him. They were afraid. They said, "This is a ghost. Who is this?" And now here's the contrast for us this evening as we consider verses 53 through 56. Look at how Mark records how the onlookers respond to seeing Jesus show up unexpectedly on their shores. Verse 54. "And when they got out of the boat," this is Jesus and the disciples, "the people immediately recognized him." There's the big contrast that Mark is pointing out for us. You see this contrast of the disciples being afraid and Jesus immediately addressing their fears and concern. Here we see Jesus show up on the shores and immediately the people there recognize him. They knew right away who had showed up on their shore that morning. And from this unexpected arrival, with the people immediately recognizing Jesus, their response to this is to go right away and to gather all who are sick and in need of healing. Jesus was not expected to show up that morning. And yet when he does, and when he appeared, he is recognized immediately. This becomes the context for the healing ministry we see of Jesus here in this account. And while the disciples fail to recognize Jesus walking on water, the village here seizes this opportunity of an unexpected visit from Jesus, and one that will have consequences that go into eternity. This is the reaction from the people when they see Jesus arrive on the shore here in verse 55. Here it points out this. "The people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was." Jesus' reputation is preceding him here. Wherever he goes, people are following. People are curious. They're wanting to see what exactly is he all about. Now, this reaction is also the basis for another contrast that's taking shape in the background of the story. And what we see here is the contrast between this town that immediately recognizes and receives Jesus, in contrast to Jesus' hometown in Nazareth, where he is rejected, almost immediately rejected. He's put out. There's but a few miracles. And what we see here is that all who came to him by faith, were made well. As we come to this section of chapter 6, even though this is quite a simple story, Mark is packing this account full of intricate detail that reveals to us as readers the significance of Jesus' own ministry. And what we find is that after he lands upon the shore and the people are brought to Jesus, we come to our second point where we see the climax really taking shape of this story. So let's turn now to our second point this evening. Verse 56 gives us just this overarching summary of the events that unfold after Jesus has made his way, this unexpected journey into the town here. Mark records, and wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. That's an important point for us. And as many as touched him, it was made well. Now that fringe of the garment, does that sound familiar to you all? If you've been with us in the evening service, you might note a few chapters back, there was a woman that Mark records. When Jesus is approached by that soldier who's imploring Jesus to come, make your way to my house. My daughter is sick and dying, and Jesus is being crammed in through those crowds. He's trying to make his way forward, and he stops and pauses the crowd and says, "Who touched me?" Again, we're seeing this point of Jesus being a healer reiterated in a different context here in Mark's gospel. This builds on that account of Mark chapter 5. And there the verses are verse 25 through 34 of that woman who was healed of her continuous bleeding. This paints a picture for us of Jesus as a faithful Jewish man. You'll note that one of the primary points of conflict in Mark's gospel is between Jesus and the religious leaders, between Jesus and the religious elite, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. And what is their continual charge that they bring against him? That he's not being a faithful Jew, that he's not living Torah. And Mark slips in these small little details that highlight an amazing and important fact for us that points to Jesus' full obedience, the fact that he lived obediently under the law. And similar to the woman who had touched his garment, this, for those who bring those sick people to Jesus, this is also showing us an act of faith. Now, it's interesting here, this final word in verse 56, that we read as made many well, could also be rendered as healed or saved. And here there is a big, once more, juxtaposition in our text. Again, this text is really a story of contrast. It's simple from the outside, but when you dig into it, you see these multifaceted layers of Mark's vivid detail as an author. Here's another juxtaposition we see. It's the question to you as a reader and hearer of the text that you must answer as well. Is Jesus only a physical healer? Or is Jesus also the healer of your own soul? Do you look to Jesus for simply physical blessing or physical healing? Or do you look to Jesus by faith as the Savior and Redeemer of your soul, the healer of your soul? This is a both and for us. One commentator puts it this way, and he's recounting what's taking shape here in this account as Mark builds this case that's ultimately leading to Jesus on the cross and how Israel as a nation responds or looks to Jesus. There's multiple different ways that Israel responds. And he says this, "In the zeal with which the people brought their sick to Jesus, we recognize not only how deeply the untiring goodness of Jesus is, but also how distant Israel remains from Jesus, because it sought from him nothing but the healing of its sick. This, in some sense, could be why there's no mention of Jesus' teaching here in this account. Commentators are puzzled on, why isn't there any mention of Christ's teaching here? But it also puts into perspective the whole narrative of Christ's own ministry as one that is marked out ultimately by compassion. As many were brought to him, many were healed. Jesus did not turn away from serving those who were brought to him. What a beautiful picture of our Savior. Did not turn anyone away. Was not burdened by time, scheduling, social status. All who were brought to him were made well. And this is really how the story ends here. From our vantage point, we are still left to ponder about what this story means for us. And this leads us to our third point this evening, the conclusion. And here in this third and final point, I want us to return to that initial proposition of the sermon. Now, I've said this is a very simple story with a very simple message. That is, Jesus brings us healing. But now we need to ask the question, how does that work in our own day? How does Jesus heal in our own day? For one, there's the obvious that sticks out. We don't have the ability to bring ourselves physically before the physical body of Christ, as it was in this case here when Jesus was enacting his earthly ministry. It's sort of the obvious question or obvious answer. But we must also wrestle with the tough and trying hard reality that sometimes in God's own providence, in his sovereignty, God does not bring the physical healing that we as his people so often desire. We must see the distinction between this era of Christ and his earthly ministry and what the Bible instructs us as a church to live in light of Christ's resurrection. So what are some conclusions that we can draw from in this passage? The physical healing that Jesus displays here points to a number of conclusions that I think we can rightfully draw. The first is this, that this healing account and all the healing accounts and all the miracle accounts that Mark records for us in his gospel point to the unwavering truth that Jesus is God in the flesh. Mark is just building his case here over and over and over that he set out to build in the beginning of his gospel as he opens up in chapter 1, verse 1, that this is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark is building the case for Jesus as the Son of God. He's revealing to us that identity which he set out to prove at the beginning of his gospel. For it is only the God incarnate who could perform such miracles. The healings reveal Christ's identity as the Son of God. The whole question of identity has been at the forefront of Mark's gospel. The second thing we see here is that the healing Jesus brings points us to a greater reality of the gospel's ability to change and transform us from sinners to saints. This is the conclusion we get to draw in light of the entirety of Scripture. We see here that Jesus brings physical healing, and he also brings primarily to us spiritual healing. And because of that, we can be remade and reborn. Paul puts it this way in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, on this work, this beautiful work of the gospel. Paul writes, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I think the question we're left asking is this, is what do you need healing from? Where do you need Jesus to heal you? Is it a struggle with sin, a broken relationship, a hurt from the past, a desire for freedom from the guilt and shame of your life outside of Christ? Is it healing from disappointment, fear, anxiety, depression, loneliness, despair, and loss? Because whatever it is, you can bring it to the feet of Christ, knowing that on the cross, Jesus provided a way forward so those things might be healed and so that you might be saved, and that your soul would find the soothing balm of the gospel that restores it before our own very eyes. So whatever it is that you are struggling with, that at the cross it might be put to death. And though it might not be now, it might not be immediately, or in the time frame in which you or I hope or desire, we can know full well that in time, even in the life to come, that Christ has paid for all of our suffering, all of our sin, all of our debt, so that we might be fully healed, fully redeemed, and fully restored, completely remade into his image, without the curse or stain of sin, all because of Christ's life, death, and resurrection. And in the story here, we get a very simple portrait of that reality, that Jesus is a Savior who heals people. This is a picture of the Son of God incarnate. This is a simple story of Jesus healing sick people like you and me. And if you are here tonight and have not yet received Christ by faith, I would ask you this question. What is it that you are hoping in to bring you healing? The world claims a lot. It offers a lot. But does it actually bring the healing that you need? Nothing can heal the way the gospel and Jesus Christ offered for you can heal. And how does one receive this offer of healing and salvation? It's quite simple. It's by believing, by trusting, and by resting and receiving. But on the flip side, I'll ask you all this question as well. What are you doing since you have been healed? Or put it another way, how have you been sharing the fact that Christ has healed you? What is our instruction for those who have received the goodness of the gospel, who have been changed, who have had faith implanted in us, who have seen Christ break the bonds of sin in our own life? How are we to respond to a message of Christ's healing? I think we turn right to the Great Commission. Go and tell. I would encourage you this evening to go and share of your own stories of Christ bringing redemption and healing in your own life. Because your simple story could be one as well that shares the message that Mark gives us here, that Jesus brings us healing. Stand with me as we pray this evening. Our great and gracious God, what a joy it is once more to be gathered around your word as your people. And as we consider the account that Mark brings us here of this simple yet profound story, of a deep truth that you are a God who provides and brings your people healing. And not just physical healing, but spiritual healing as well. And Lord, we thank you for your mercy that extends to us, because you sent us a Savior to seek us out. And we thank you for that truth. Lord, draw near to us as we leave here. Draw near to us this week, all to the glory of your Son, in whose name we pray together. Amen.